Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
Count the queens and you better run.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This song comes from the album called Give the People What They Want by Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. The band has fans around the globe, but perhaps nowhere is Sharon Jones more loved than here in her longtime hometown of New York. So when New Yorkers heard she had cancer, giving the people what they wanted meant finding a way to beat cancer and return to the stage. The story of Sharon Jones' battle and her triumphant return to the stage of the Beacon Theater here in New York is told in the documentary Miss Sharon Jones by two-time Oscar winner Barbara Koppel. And I'm pleased to welcome both Barbara Koppel and Sharon Jones back to the Soundcheck studio. Welcome to both of you.
Hey, glad to be here.
Thank you.
Sharon, it's almost a Hollywood story, you know, the fight against cancer, the triumphant return in your hometown, but this isn't Hollywood. This is real life.
And oh, yeah.
You announced last fall that the cancer had returned. How are you feeling? How are you doing these days?
Well, I just had chemo yesterday. I flew in from ending my second leg of the Hall & Oates tour. And
just for folks who don't know, the band is opening for Hall & Oates.
Oh, yes, Hall & Oates, and also Trombone Shorty is also on the billing with us.
Oh, he's great.
They got a great... Hall & Oates did a good show, and that's a good three acts. People get to see some good stuff out there.
Yeah. So you're able to tour.
Yeah, you know, it's some nights. I take it one day at a time.
Right.
Recently, the first leg with Hall & Oates is when I found out that the cancer had came back in three different places while I was out on the road, and I'm in pain, and I'm like, what is going on? And they flew me in. I took a CAT scan. And they flew it to the hospital in New York, and they were like, come in, you got to start chemo. And so I started it. And now the last couple of months taking this chemo, it's like the neuropathy is pretty bad. I'm taking two types. So yesterday they stopped me from taking one. I don't want to take that one because the neuropathy is too bad.
So you can't feel your fingers.
My fingers, I can't really walk. Now it's coming up my leg. And if that's defeating the purpose of me taking the chemo. I want to perform and I want to be able to take, I don't want this chemo, even if they tell me, I don't want to be able to take chemo and have to be at home in a bed, can't move. So I want to live my life. I want to get around. While I have my health and strength can do it, I want to move.
Right. And Barbara, I mean, you know, if you were to sum up your film, Miss Sharon Jones, in a nutshell, it's this small, this diminutive but outsized ball of energy trying to be contained by... you know, the disease and the treatment. I mean, how did this film... I mean, what was your initial attraction to do this movie with Sharon?
Well, one, how could you not be attracted to Miss Sharon Jones? She's so cool. But it started through Alex Kavdan, who's her wonderful manager and a musician in his own right. Mm-hmm. And he came to VH1, and he just said... I think there should be a film about Sharon Jones. And they said, absolutely. And I was lucky enough for them to pick me to do it. I had done a film, Woodstock Now and Then, celebrating the 40th anniversary of Woodstock with Steve Mintz and Brad Abramson. And they called up and said, how would you like to? And I said, are you kidding? I would love to.
So you were already a fan?
I knew some of her music, but had never met her.
And you weren't aware that she was sick?
I was aware. Okay. I was aware, but that was not the reason for doing the film.
Right.
I mean, I never thought for a second that Sharon wouldn't make it, and she was doing what she had to do to be healthy, and I knew she'd be out there on the road again. I never thought that. It never dawned on me that she wouldn't.
What about you, Sharon? I mean, this whole process started at a real low point for you.
I mean,
the film opens with you having your head shaved, you know, which was a really kind of heartbreaking moment.
That was the first time I met Sharon.
Really?
Yeah.
So they met me, you know, at a time when I was really down and getting ready to get the hair cut. But I just just knew by talking with them. And, you know, once I decided, yeah, well, you know, because at first, you know, I was like, am I going to be able to do this? You know, because the first thing the doctor told me, I didn't even think I was going to be alive to perform, to give the people what they want. That only happened like maybe about a couple of hours or so, you know, went through that. I just, that is, you know, just to let y'all know people.
So your dark night of the soul only lasted a few hours.
It only lasted a few hours, you know.
If that.
I was on my deathbed. He like, you wasn't on deathbed. I guess I was on my deathbed.
This was 2013?
2013,
yes,
right.
My first shoot was the end of August 2013, and the last shoot was 2015.
Yeah. And for you, Sharon, was it helpful somehow to be retelling? I mean, at a time when you couldn't sing, to be able to tell your story, you know, for Barbara and the crew?
I figured, you know, I wasn't able to sing, but once the filming was there, my goal was to be ready for February for New York, for the Beacon. And this film was going to follow me there. So I wasn't able to sing, but I knew I was going to be able to sing soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a matter of timing. And then that's because I had the had gotten an offer to do the Macy's Day Parade in November. I'm like, how am I going to do that? And they filmed me doing this thing at the church September. That was my first time really getting out to sing and putting the air in and going for it. So all of this here was preparing me. So everything that day in the church, well, that scene from the church scene, I knew that I was going to be ready for February, because that's when I knew God had came in and I felt his anointing, and he was saying, yeah, you're going to do this.
That's all a one-shot take, isn't it,
yeah.
Barbara?
You are so right. Yes, Gary Griffin, who is a great cinematographer, a director in his own right, he did The Velvet Revolution, a fiction film called Lysipod in Prague. And he got that all in one take.
It's an amazing...
We did one cutaway to shorten it a tiny bit, but he just followed it. He's so wonderful. He's such a brilliant cinematographer.
Yeah. It's one of the many memorable scenes in the film. The film is Miss Sharon Jones by Barbara Koppel. Both Sharon Jones and Barbara Koppel are here with me. There's another sort of telling moment, Barbara, where Sharon is looking at the, I think it's the Village Voice, and it says Soul Survivors, this picture of you, Sharon. And Sharon is kind of retelling a bit of her story. This is actually from the film called Miss Sharon Jones.
I never had in my head that I want to be a star. I think all the time when I had in my head I wanted to be a star, nothing happened. When I just said, you know what, I just want to sing and use this gift and people love me, you know, for my voice, not the way I look, and enjoy my music. And that seems to be happening right now. To see me, the same woman that the guy from Sony said I was too fat, too black, too short, and too old. And look at me now, you know. I lost a little weight since the chemo and cancer, but I'm still black. And I'm short. I'm not going to change. I'm still 4'11 and a quarter, you know, but I'm a better person than when that man told me that, because I felt bad and I looked at myself and saw ugliness.
I learned a hard thing about you.
Now I know about you. Yeah. Now I know about you.
When I open my eyes.
So that is a moment from the film Miss Sharon Jones by Barbara Koppel. And Sharon, you know, that is kind of that's a turning point in your story, isn't it? That need to look at yourself and your career in a different way.
Well, yeah, I had to, because I'm coming back. I was a different person. I didn't know, you know, the Sharon all these other years, you know, I get on that stage and my energy and my hair, you know, that was all part of my act, you know. And now I'm going back on it. How much energy am I going to have, you know? I don't have the hair to sling anymore. But it was going to be a different Sharon.
Yeah.
But it still was Sharon. But it was going to be a different Sharon. It had to be.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things in the film is there are small details, small decisions that have to be made, but they kind of paint a portrait of you, Sharon. So the decision about which wig to wear ultimately becomes, I don't want to wear a wig at all.
Yeah.
You know? And so that kind of thing, that intimacy, Barbara.
Well, I think for me, the most beautiful, challenging, and painful scene was The Beacon. backstage at the Beacon when Sharon was saying, I don't know who I am. I don't know if I'm going to be able to dance or I'm going to sit in a chair. I just don't know who I am. And then you could see she was nervous and she was holding her cup in her hand and her hands were shaking. And then Binky went, Miss Sharon Jones, who kicked cancer in the ass. And boom, she goes out and she kills it. And she's beautiful. And the audience is right with her. And she's so open to the audience, telling them, you know, I'm testing this out on you guys.
Yeah.
And that was the most wonderful scene for me in the whole film, is to see her after 7 months of really not singing, go out with all that courage and all that nerve to do it.
And again, not to get into the techniques of cinematography and the shot placement and stuff like that, but still, one of the great moments is you're looking from the drummer's point of view at the rest of the band. And so it's Binky Griptite, one of the guitarists, who introduces Sharon, but it's the other guitarist, whose name I'm blanking on.
Joe Crispiano.
Who turns to the band and says, are we ready?
Oh, no, that's,
no, Gabe.
That's Gabriel Roth.
Oh, and
that's the bass guitar.
If I could tell a tiny story. So I wanted Gabe that night. I just had this feeling. I said, please wear a wireless mic. And he went, no, I don't do that. I said, well, Woody Allen did that for me. You won't do it? And so he said, okay. And it was perfect because we wouldn't have heard that. And when Sharon didn't remember a word or something, we wouldn't have heard that interchange between them.
So. Yeah. So this is the moment where Binky Griptite, the guitarist, is introducing Sharon Jones to a wild audience at the Beacon Theater.
But it had to be taken in order for Sharon Jones to kick cancer in the ass. But now that she's taken care of that, ladies and gentlemen, she's back. We're going to welcome this young lady to the stage. Please welcome Miss Sharon.
And that is one of that. It's. I mean, you almost get chills up your spine. How did that feel, Sharon?
Yeah, I just relived that over again. Yeah, it's. I was just so. But once, every time he go Jones, and I walk out there in that audience, it
walked out. You didn't walk out. I don't know what that was, a strut. You flew out, and this is one of the amazing things, because literally a split second before that, we see Barbara, your shot of Sharon in the wings, and she looks like she's just
she's getting her nerves together.
Yeah. And then suddenly it's like a flip has been switched. A switch has been flipped. and there is the old Sharon Jones.
She looks like a prize fighter waiting to go into the ring.
It's an amazing scene. Barbara, this seems to have been a very different film from what you set out to make. You did a lot of, you know, talking head interviews. I know we did one here in this studio, none of which you used. And I kept watching and thinking, God, is she really going to, like, am I going to be saying something? And the further the film went on, the more I thought, oh, God, I hope she doesn't use any of it. It just seemed like the kind of close angle view of Sharon's story that to bring other voices and other talking heads in would have just marred it somehow.
Well, you never know in a documentary what you need. Mm-hmm. And my philosophy is, do not leave a stone unturned. Mm. Get everything that you possibly can. So when you're working with it in the editing room, if you need a moment of this or a moment of that, it's like cooking a fantastic meal with all the ingredients and you have them. And that's the way I do my films.
Mm-hmm.
Sharon told her own story.
Yep.
And she just allowed us to follow. And she totally forgot about us because what she was doing was so much more important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Living.
And even the poor, just some part, I used to like mess with their heads though. when the room scenes, when they had to, like Barbara, like, we do need some time of you just in a room by yourself. Like, this is what you do in a room by myself. Like, well, how much of that can you film? You know, yeah. How much people? So I'm sitting there and I'm really painting, and then I mess with the camera guy. Like, do you have enough filming right now? Don't talk to us. We're not here. I'm like, what do you mean? Don't talk to you? I can't. You know, and you know, so I was just, you know, just yeah. it was fun though.
Now, there is, of course, a soundtrack to the film Miss Sharon Jones, and of course, it's full of great soul, funk, you know, classic R&B sounds, and a new song called I'm Still Here, which, you know, seems to be a kind of a statement of intent on your part, Sharon. When was this song made?
A few months ago.
Yeah, 2015.
Yeah,
16,
no, actually,
16.
We just...
You just recorded
we
it.
Just recorded that while I was... the Lincoln commercial that I'm doing, while we was in the studio of doing that, we had a couple of weeks to put aside to do the album. And that idea came up, I'm Still Here, you know, and we wrote the song and then ended up using it for the soundtrack. Came out just in time for the movie, too.
Yeah. So this is after...
What do you mean we redid it? We loved it so much, redid it.
No, yeah.
For the end credits.
Like, we just put it in.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We went in to put it in.
So this is after the cancer had come back.
Oh,
so
yeah. Yeah, I found out the cancer was back. Well, I had known the cancer was back a few months, but it was coming back on the liver. So what they did was they put pellets, radiation pellets called Y90, and they went up the groin vein here,
mm-hmm.
and they found the tumors on the liver, and they delivered the pellets, and they would go up the bloodstream, block the blood flow to the tumors, and then it would release the radiation, and it killed them. And so it had three had disappeared. Then they saw two more had came up on the other side. But I said, I'm getting ready to go on the road with Hall & Oates. And the doctor like, you got time, a couple of weeks, then you come in and then we'll start that procedure. As soon as I get on the road, 3 or 4 days out, I'm in pain.
Mm.
I start feeling pain when I was in the studio. It had been coming on for a while, but I'm like this type just like, what is this? What is this? This pain is weird. And it was so bad that every time they go cut, I had my assistant, I had three women. My assistant had her hand, I just push right there, and you just push right in this spot, and you're in the back, all three of them. I'm like, just push as hard as you can, and I'm like, and then they go, all right, we're going to film someone now. We'll go and do the commercial, and the next day I went, took a CAT scan, and flew right to New York, and they started the chemo.
And this
so it came back in the lymph node in my stomach, uh-huh. plus the two that they saw on the liver, and they saw a spot on my lungs, so, and that's when they started giving me two types of chemo.
Uh-huh. But it's amazing that you're able to not only be touring with the band, but you're doing this commercial for Lincoln, for Lincoln Cars.
Yes, the Lincoln Car.
And you're promoting the film and all of this, you know, at a time when I think probably people would like you to be in bed.
Yeah. But that's what I don't want to be in a bed.
Yeah,
she wouldn't miss any of this for the world.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
adrenaline that she gets from
this
from
is my
the
healing.
Fans.
This
yes.
is my healing. It really makes me feel better when I get out and do.
And this is, you know, this seems to be one of the things that this new song is saying. It's just, you know, life keeps throwing these challenges at me, and I'm still here. This is the new song in the soundtrack to the film, Miss Sharon Jones.
Tell them to do what they're told, 'cause some record label told me I was too fat, too short, black and old. I had to direct the choir to let my voice sound, 'cause that we'll
I'm Still Here is the new song that appears on the soundtrack to the movie Miss Sharon Jones by two-time Oscar winner Barbara Kopple, and both Barbara and Sharon are with me on soundcheck. And so Sharon, what is the prognosis now? I mean, have the doctors told you anything? Do they expect to be able to get everything this time around?
Well, no. It's just a matter of they're shrinking. He said my blood work with yesterday was good. My liver, my kidney looks good. They stopped the chemo that I... So the next thing is just going to go in. I got to get another CAT scan to see where things are at. Some of the stuff I tell them, I don't even want to hear it. You know, it's just like, just let me know the good stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
I want to say something, though, too. I've been taking the film around to different film festivals, and the people at the film festivals just love this. They walk out of the theater singing and dancing. And many of them who have known somebody who has had cancer or have cancer themselves just say, this film and Sharon Jones has given me so much hope. And it's just so phenomenal and beautiful to see.
You know what else is beautiful to see is the two of you. You know, the film is done. Mm-hmm. You know, your work together is over, and yet here you still are, as you were the last
Best
time you guys
friends.
Were here in the studio.
What we got?
You know,
and new friendship now. I think our friendship will be here to the end. You know,
it will.
Well, and the music mm-hmm. will as well.
Yeah.
And
yes.
That is one of the great gifts of Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, as documented in the film called Miss Sharon Jones. Sharon, Barbara, thank you both so much. Great to see the two of you. And Sharon, best of luck. Thank you so much.
Glad to be here again, as always.
And thanks for having us.
The big sea crashed down on me, tried to take it all away. And I didn't know if I would live to see another day.
Film Miss Sharon Jones opens tomorrow, Friday, July 29th, at the IFC Center here in New York. It opens in L.A. on August 4th and various other places around the country as August progresses. In the meantime, check us out online for more live music performances, interviews, our weekly music roundup, our daily gig alerts, and much more at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.